We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Woo! It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, glad to be with you today on this Tuesday. We've got a lot going on this week. Busy week. Braves played last night. We'll talk some more about that coming up in a minute. Atlanta United going to get an early kickoff Thursday. They'll get started at 9:07 Thursday morning. You can hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy, did you ever have a 9 o'clock kickoff?
Hell no. The earliest I've ever played in a kickoff, Chris, it's different when you're talking about coming from, because playing in San Diego, I played 1 o'clock games out here. So I can't say, I guess I have, but it really didn't feel that way to me, because the three and a half, four years that we lived in California, I always kept my watch on East Coast time. I never changed over. I always kept it on East Coast time. For some reason, it would make me feel better. But no, so I guess you could say 10 o'clock, because I have played the 1 o'clock games over there. But the earliest, like when I lived on the East Coast, it's still a time difference, Hank. We played in Arkansas. You remember the Jefferson Pilot? We played that Jefferson Pilot, yep. That noon game, which is 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 11 a.m. Central time.
Yeah. So we played that game. But, it just sounds funny when you hear Tanitra and you hear Mike Conti in their update saying at 9 o'clock. I'm like, damn, they are playing that early on Thursday morning. But, I mean, it's just a part of the draw. But, make sure AMA questions, guys. Make sure you send them to either Wendy Radio, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, Brian _ Gebhardt, or even myself. At RandyMac81, but it's gonna be different. I'm curious to see how the body gets going and everything. And like you said, we're gonna have Joe Patrick on in the next segment. But yeah, that's gonna be strange, man. It's gonna be strange sitting here waiting to go to work, but we're gonna watch United before we come on the air on Thursday. So it's gonna be cool. We're gonna have something to do, talk about.
Talk some Atlanta United with Joe Patrick in 20 minutes. Ask me anything coming your way in 40 minutes. Coming your way right now, it's What's Trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
To be honest with you, my stuff's never felt better. We've been making a lot of pitches that are kind of riding the line, you know. They're just missing or they're just off. And like I said, when you get foul balls late in counts, it's just about tweaking those little finishers to make sure you get that strike three or that ball in play.
Randy, if Mike Soroka is saying that his stuff has never felt better, that is that's good news for Braves fans.
Yeah, and we talked to Paul Burr earlier. I mean, you just saw different pitches yesterday. He really wasn't focused on the fastball too much. He's working on his changeup and everything. And right now he looks ready. He looks like he is ready to roll, Chris, and that is a good thing because you've been knowing me a long time, Chris, and we've worked together a lot. And you know what I always think about that one-year wonder as far as, oh, my God, he is so amazing. Can you do it again? And right now, right. Mike Soroka looked like he's ready to roll when they go up to face New York, the Mets and everything. And it seems like he's just continually holding a grasp on that number one pitcher, you know, spot right now. And all we got to see is Max Fried go along with it. And we're going to have something special, hopefully have something special like we had in those 90s.
The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal reporting that Major League Baseball and the Players Association have reached an agreement on how contract options and bonuses would be handled in the shortened 2020 season. Bonuses, both roster and playing time, will be prorated. They'll be paid at a prorated amount. Postseason bonuses, though, will be paid in full. Just that last little dotting of I and crossing of T's, Randy, that needed to happen in order to make sure this baseball season starts later this month.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the result of all the sports coming back. I'm sure MLS had some loose ends they had to tie before they started playing again. I'm sure the NBA also. We know that football still has some work to do in order to get their season started. But yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I think the main thing with a lot of players in all the leagues is what happens if we do get sick, as far as the money aspect of it. And I think that somewhere the leagues will be like, okay, well, if you get sick or whatever on our watch, okay. But if you're out doing something you're not supposed to be doing or whatever, and you get sick, and we trace it back to that, then it'll be this. So I think it's just one of those things where they're just both sides, Chris, are trying to protect themselves. In the case of he said, she said, oh, I was sick, you know. I got sick playing. No, well, we got surveillance that you was over there at the shake over there. You was over there at the shake in the lap dance. You know, that's what they're trying to prevent and trying to protect each other from.
So midday show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we take a look at what is trending. The SEC yesterday, full day of meetings with the league's athletic directors in Birmingham. Greg Sankey said on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday that the conference is not ready yet to consider a league-only schedule. SEC expected to make a decision late July. And again, Randy, as you and I talked about earlier, I find it hard to believe that of the people that were in that room yesterday, there wasn't somebody there from the SEC network, there wasn't somebody there from CBS, and there wasn't somebody there from ESPN, because I would think the TV networks are going to have a say in what this schedule looks like. There's a part of me that thinks the TV networks would be the idea of a 10-game conference-only schedule in the SEC would have a lot of those TV guys excited, because you're going to get a whole lot more eyeballs on even an Alabama-Arkansas SEC game is still probably going to pull more viewership in than Alabama taking on a Group of Five school or an FCS school.
Hell yeah. Oh, 100% correct, man. And I couldn't get all the info. I'm looking. You remember? Was it the American Conference is decided to postpone their season or whatever? Well, I mean, they were talking about Hawaii, because Hawaii's talking about they playing, and they scheduled Robert Morris for September 26th out there in Hawaii. So I mean, teams, you're starting to see teams trying to adjust that are losing those games to other conferences and everything. But yeah, you're absolutely correct. Arkansas, I mean, no offense to Georgia State or whatever, but I'd rather, and I'm sure a lot of people would rather see, really? I don't know. I was about to say people would rather see Arkansas than they would rather see Kansas State. I mean, I'm sorry, against Georgia State play Alabama, but I don't know. I think Georgia State might give a better game than Arkansas.
Yeah,
I
mean, they may.
I mean, it's you know, I like Coach Pittman, but he got a lot of work to do. Out there, Arkansas, but yeah, I mean, that'd be an advantage for those networks as far as CBS and those things. But then you would figure out how do you schedule the games? Would it still only be one SEC game? I'm sure ESPN is going to have some rights to some of those games. SEC network. So I mean, if we can figure out a way, if that's going to be the case, figure out a way to make sure that you don't lose those rivalries. Because as much as I like dumping on Georgia Tech, I don't want to have to lose that rivalry game. One, because it's an easy win, and two, I just want to want to play against them. You want to see? There I go again.
Not that you want to dump on Georgia Tech at all. Of course, yeah, the utmost respect coming.
No,
you.
I have the utmost respect for Coach Collins. I love what he's doing for that program. But it's still Georgia Tech, and they treat me the same way. So I don't want to hit that whining, because they be coming at me all the time too. It's all in love. It's all in love, haters.
According to Yahoo.com, two NBA players have tested positive for COVID. That is two out of the 322 that have been tested since July 7th. That is when they entered the bubble. So they had 19 players test positive before the bubble. Since the bubble, only two players have tested positive. Some guys not exactly happy with the accommodations and the food. One of those was Rajon Rondo. And now, according to his coach, Frank Vogel, he has an injury, but Vogel's not exactly sure how Rondo got hurt.
We're not sure exactly. He's not sure exactly how it happened. You know, he just reported that as he was playing, it just started hurting a little bit more and more, and to the point where he got to a break and asked to go over and have the trainers look at it, and was concerned something had happened, but he was not sure exactly what play it happened on.
It is, Randy, a broken right thumb. He's not sure how he did it, though.
I mean, I don't know how he broke it either. I wasn't there. But, I mean, that's the third time he's broken that finger, that right thumb, I think, in the last 2 years. That's the one that gave him trouble last year. And so when you look, I mean, that's always something that you don't want to have to deal with as a player or a coach. When you sit up there and say, how'd you get hurt? I don't know. Well, hell, did it happen at practice, son, or did it happen before then? Or, I mean, because usually when you say it like that as a player, that means you got hurt when you weren't supposed to be doing something.
I was going to say, that sounds like the conversation you have with your children, doesn't it? Yeah, how'd that happen? I don't know.
How'd that happen? I don't
Who
know.
Who did that?
I don't know. But if you look at it from a pure basketball, that's a big loss for him because they're saying he's not going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. And, of course, he's not going to have the surgery down there. So, they're talking about when he comes back, he's going to have to quarantine again for another week. So, I mean, yeah, that's a big loss for him. They've already lost Avery Bradley. And, I mean, I like the Lakers team because I think King James and AD, I think that. But them damn Clippers, man, them Clippers got that dog in them, man. And I think that, you know, Kawhi talking about he coming back, he feeling stronger and he healthy and Paul George got a chance to heal. Man, the Lakers in trouble. The Lakers showing trouble, even though, I mean, I would like the Lakers to win it. Them damn Clippers, they just got some rough cats on their squad. This is rough. They just beat you up.
Facing the reality of the current spike in coronavirus cases, the season-ending tour championship at Eastlake announced Monday that it would stage the September tournament without fans. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. The PGA Tour had already said that they would have no fans on site through the rest of the season, and so the tour championship at Eastlake set for September the 4th through the 7th. They made their decision yesterday. Now, if you purchase tickets, by the way, you'll get an automatic refund.
What about if you want to go as not a media member, but a guy who was there last year having a ball? Chris, we had to meet because Andy was out last time we were out there. It was me and Chuckery. Man, that place, that was so much fun. We got the chance to broadcast. I think we were over there by the Grey Goose folks and all that. So it was a great time. Sean, you think you can pull some strings? I know you're listening. I'm sure that they can pull some strings to get us back out there. Or just send me. No, I'm up here telling the story like I'm going to go by myself. But, yeah, the Grey Goose tent made it happen, like Brian said. But, yeah, that just goes – because wasn't it 2 weeks ago they were talking about allowing people out there or whatever? Then all of a sudden they were like, no, we can't do that. So, I mean, I don't know when's the next time they're going to allow fans at a live golf event, but, damn, that was so much fun last year. I was kind of looking forward to going back out there.
Well, kudos. I'll say this. Kudos to them for allowing people, just making an automatic refund and giving people their money back.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that.
The stuff that Ticketmaster is doing to people that have bought, especially concert tickets where the concerts have been postponed and Ticketmaster not wanting to give people their money back is a big old load of crap.
Yeah, so, hell yeah.
Kudos to the golf community for and the tour championship over at Eastlake, at the Eastlake Golf Club for making that right with folks.
Well, Sean just text me. No go, bro. So I guess we won't be out there.
Yeah, you're still going to be at home, Randy. You're still going to be at home. Well, now, you can still have some Grey Goose. I mean, Sean don't have to know about that.
Oh, no, he don't have to know about that. But that Grey Goose, that'll hurt me right there, Chris. Yeah, I ain't drank Grey Goose in a long time, and it was not a good night after that. So I leave it alone. I still got a bottle that's been in here for about 5 years. I mean, it's been transported from California all the way out here, but no, I refuse to drink it. I drink rubber alcohol. I drink one of them White Claws that Andy
that Brian drinks.
That Brian drink before I drink any. If I drink that damn Grey Goose ever again in my life, ever in the history of life.
Quick reminder: we'll talk a little Atlanta United with Joe Patrick coming up in our next segment. But first, though, Atlanta United playing Thursday morning. They kick it off at 9:07. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This was George Bello yesterday talking about the last time he played at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that's a while. It's a while ago for sure. I mean, play scrimmages, of course, in like preseason and stuff, but against each other. But actual game, yeah, can't even remember. Been a while.
That's like a rec league soccer start time.
Yeah. You know, it is usually like that because that's usually when the kids play at 9 o'clock. Yep. That's when the baby soccer game usually is. But the funny thing is that. That's just how it's going to be. That's why I'm curious when Joe gets on. How do they, as far as label who plays at that 9 o'clock slot? Because I've been, while we're doing the show this week, I've been sitting here watching a couple of the games that came on at 9 o'clock, and it does seem like it's a weird hour to be playing soccer. But they're trying to get all this stuff in, and I just hope it's one of those things where you got to start fast. You can't come out flat because these are those games, Chris, when it's early, and that was one of the keys. Whenever we came out east to play, when I was playing in California, it was one of the keys is that we got to get started early because their bodies are accustomed to whatever's going on at the time that we're going. We got to get ours revved up, so it's always important to get out early. And so hopefully we can find a way to get. I mean, Atlanta can find a way to get out early. I mean, they playing Cincinnati. They should put foots in Cincinnati. Yeah, I'm soft. Yeah, I'm confident and everything. Yeah, they should put foots all up in Cincinnati. Right.
Yeah, they should.
Okay.
They should. Right. You're right. I think I don't know. That's one of the things we'll get into with Joe. I thought Columbus looked really good the other night. I thought Cincinnati looked really bad. So is that the case, or is Columbus that good, or Cincinnati that bad? We'll kind of find out from
Columbus.
Joe,
I think Columbus is pretty good. I think Columbus is going to be pretty good. Yeah, I think Columbus is good.
We'll find that out when we visit with Joe Patrick. That is coming your way next. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Back with Joe Patrick. Talk a little Atlanta United next.
This is Andrew Bogish with a CBS Sports Minute. It's not just the players and managers and coaches that MLB has to keep healthy to finish its season. It's the umpires, too. We've already heard crews may work entire homestands instead of doing one series and then moving on. They could also work consecutive series in cities with multiple teams, like New York, Chicago, LA, and the Bay Area. Both of those ideas would limit exposure while traveling. As would this from Angels manager Joe Maddon. He confirmed yesterday that umps may travel on team charters when possible to keep them out of airports. Health and safety are paramount, but this sounds like a bad idea. There could be a lot of hard feelings on a post-game cross-country flight with only a few rows of seats separating players, the manager, and the umps. Or maybe this is a great idea, as long as cameras are rolling so we can see any drama. I'm Andrew Bogish.
Summer memories. You can make them just as easily in your own backyard, like sharing your secret burger recipe with your kid and showing them how to cook it just right, or just chilling with the family and figuring out the constellations. Lowe's? Well, we'd like to help you make it happen with free delivery on grills $3.98 or more and Yeti drinkware starting at just $24.99. Ah, yeah, it's summer. Shop Lowe's.com and make your backyard the best it can be. While supplies last, applies to standard delivery in U.S. only. Purchase threshold calculated before taxes. After applicable discounts, if any. More fees may apply. See Lowe's.com for details.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coronavirus. The outbreak of the coronavirus has affected us all here in Atlanta, and it's made some changes in the sports world as well. As the stories continue to break, we're here to give you the latest. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let go!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Midday Show. Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael. Find us at 92.9thegame.com and also on the radio.com app. Atlanta United kicks off early Thursday morning, 9:07, the official time for the kickoffs. You can have your bacon, eggs, and coffee with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's what you have to roll on those 9:07 kickoffs.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. Hey, guys, also remember, we have AMA next segment. Make sure y'all get your questions in. But, yeah, man, I'm talking about you can have your coffee. You can have you some Bailey's in it with some bacon, some eggs, egg whites, and a piece of bagel or something. Hell, yeah. That's a good breakfast. I wonder if Joe eats that.
Let's talk a little bit of Atlanta United and welcome in Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday hosts, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
Joe, let's hop into this Atlanta United match that is coming up on Thursday morning. We saw Columbus in Cincinnati over the weekend. Is Columbus that good or is Cincinnati that bad?
Yeah, I guess we're going to find out a little bit more about that come Thursday. We'll find out a little bit more about just how bad Cincinnati may be. What is interesting is that so there's a metric called expected goals, which is essentially like it essentially takes all the shots that were taken and it mathematically outputs like at what percentage of times would that goal be scored. And it's really interesting, despite the fact that the Columbus Crew scored four goals against Cincinnati, they actually had a slightly lesser expected goal total than Atlanta United had against Red Bull. So, who knows? Maybe Cincinnati just kind of got unlucky. They were victims of a top quality free kick goal by a Columbus Crew player, De La Rion, one of their new signings. But it's going to be interesting. And I'll tell you what, for Atlanta United, there's quite a bit of pressure on them in this match to make sure they get all 3 points because, you know, you already dropped the game against Red Bulls was one I'm sure they would have at least liked to have gotten a point out of. Of course, because the Red Bulls are not the same Red Bull team that we've seen the last couple of years that have really challenged at the top of the Eastern Conference. And so now this is kind of a game where you got to get 3 points here because you do not want to go into a game against the Columbus Crew, a team that's looking very good, and having to get 3 points out of that game. So a lot of pressure on this game, despite the fact that, you know, the quality of the opponent might not be as great. It's going to be very interesting to see how Atlanta United deals with that pressure that's on them.
Hey, what's happening, Joe P? Appreciate you coming on as usual.
You know, I put the Baileys in my coffee for sure.
You're damn right. Why not? I mean, it's only natural. Only reason I can't do it because I got to work afterwards. Wink, wink. But anyways.
When's that ever stop yet? No, I'm just kidding.
Exactly. But Joe, I mean, I'm sure you've explained it. This is our first time having you on. Explain to me what happened on the goal that they gave up because it did like it was a miscommunication. But that one, and how did it look with Miles being back there at the back end with his new running mate back there?
Yeah, so the way the match got started was really interesting, where Atlanta, first of all, Red Bulls were really pressing, and I think when they came out to press, Atlanta felt like, okay, well, if they're going to come out and press us like this, they're going to leave a lot of space in behind that we can try to exploit and get behind and try to get ahead early, get an early goal. And that first opening 5 to 10 minutes was actually pretty fascinating because both teams were really getting really aggressive with it. And what happened on the goal was that Atlanta was just pressing forward. You know, they had players, even some of their defenders were making forward runs. I think at the time the turnover happened, Franco Escobar, one of the center backs, was way up the field. And they were just exposed at the back, and you got to give credit to Red Bulls there. Kaku, who was one of their big signings a couple of years ago, who's kind of been failed to impress, I think, as highly as many people would have liked to have seen, had a superb pass into Florian Below, who had kind of glided in behind Meza. And, you know, it was on the side of the field where George Bello was playing, getting one of his first starts since like October of 2018. And I think you saw a little bit of George's just kind of inexperience right there in that position at that time, because the play was happening on the other side of the field from where he was. So there was not really a need for him to be so high up, but he was kind of caught up and away from position to help his center back Fernando Meza deal with that run from below. So I think it was just one of those things where you just lose a little bit of concentration. Frank DeBoer said after the game, you know, that happened a few times to Atlanta throughout the match where they just kind of lost focus or whatever it was and had some mistakes. But in general, Frank said that he thought that the team played well and kind of controlled the match to an extent. They just got to clean up some of those areas. And as you mentioned it with Miles Robinson, I thought that he was good. I thought that he provided exactly what you want to see out of him, which is just to kind of do all he can in those situations where he has to defend one-on-one. And when he's able to make those stops, when he's able to make those one-on-one challenges, what that really does is it allows the rest of the Atlanta United players to essentially leave him and go and focus on the attack and not worry about having to give him so much support because he's so good in those defensive one-on-one situations. I will say, you know, I've done an in-depth piece on Miles Robinson. I've talked to a lot of his coaches that he's had throughout his time. And one of the things that I heard from those coaches was that, you know, he's so athletic, he's so big, he's got to actually score some goals for teams. He's not yet scored. And scoring on set pieces, scoring on corners, that kind of thing. He's really where he really can be a threat. And in the game against Red Bulls, he had a glorious headed opportunity where he met the ball one-on-one, nobody really on him. And it just, he just kind of missed the header and it deflected wide. So, would like to see him be a little bit more potent in those situations, because I think he's a guy who could contribute 4 or 5 goals over the course of the season, which might not sound like much, but over the, you know, those goals add up to something. And, if he can do that, it would really, really give Atlanta a big boost.
Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He's hanging out with us here on the Midday Show as we talk a little bit about Atlanta United as they kick off Thursday morning, 9:07, the scheduled time for the kickoff on Thursday. Joe, I've got kind of a two-part question here. Sure. One, I want your thoughts on the piped-in crowd noise on TV. And do you think the no fans in the stands, does that have any effect at all on the players?
Love this question. And I think my personal opinion is I like the crowd noise, honestly, being pumped into the broadcast, which is something actually when soccer first started getting played in the Bundesliga, I kind of made a stance on Twitter saying like, oh, well, let's not put the fans in on the audio mix until they're actually back and let it feel differently when the fans are back. But I've gone off of that. You know, I just because I have found myself more engaged, paying more attention to games that have that background crowd noise for whatever the reason. Even some of the broadcasters that are not doing such a great job with it. It was kind of comical, the broadcast that was on the TUDN from one of the games. It's a Spanish language broadcast. It was kind of comical how bad some of the audio mixing was. But even then, it's like I just enjoyed it more. And I understand the people who prefer kind of the authentic no fans, because then you can actually hear some of the communication that's happening between players and especially from the coach to the players. And I grant that that is interesting in its own right. But for me, I've just found that I've been able to pay more attention when there is kind of the fans noise being pumped in. As to the other question, I think it is actually really fascinating to see how it is affecting how the teams play without fans, because I've heard a couple coaches, one of them from the Philadelphia Union, Jim Curtin, was just speaking today saying that, you know, when they come out of these water breaks or after halftime, there isn't that normal same, like, get up, you know, that just same vibe in the stadium. And so you actually see teams switch off a bit in those moments, and they're very vulnerable to giving up a goal. So I think that is really interesting part of it. I also think that without crowd noise, it's much easier for the coaches to communicate to their players exactly what they want them to do. So it's almost like, if you're a coach, it's almost like playing FIFA to an extent. Like, you can actually have more control over, you know, telling individual players, you know, where to go or who to keep an eye on, almost like you were a teammate on the field saying, like, oh, you know, make sure you got him, this guy. You know, there's just, like, more of that communication that can happen from the coach to the players. So I think there is a little bit more micromanaging that managers are able to do during these games.
Joe, what was your opinion of the offensive flow for United on Saturday? I mean, they had opportunities to score goals, and now, you know, they had more shots. They actually had more shots than Red Bulls. Mm-hmm. What was your, you know, as far as the shape and as far as the flow offensively?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit muddled. You know, I just didn't really see the same kind of clarity in the way they wanted to play as we've seen in times past. Even under Frank de Boer, kind of late last season down the stretch, it seemed like they had a definite, clear vision of what they wanted to do with the ball. And I think a lot of it comes down to just not having Joseph Martinez, that guy that he's a focal point for all the other players on the field. Like, they kind of know what to do based on the way he moves. And when you don't have him, you're trying to adjust to somebody who is different, who might play that position a little bit differently, like we saw Manuel Castro doing in the game. And I just thought that you could tell the guys were trying to improvise and trying to have that combination play, but it just wasn't kind of the same. There wasn't the same kind of, you know, understanding between the players as to what to do. And I think that some of that's just natural. That's the fact that you just haven't played in 4 months, but hopefully we see that start to improve. And I think that maybe that's a reason you might want to bring a guy like Adam John into the game, because again, talking about that being that focal point for other players to play off of, I think that if you introduce Adam John into the starting 11, he may not be as technically good of a soccer player with the ball at his feet, but he might allow Pity Martinez and Ezequiel Barco and even a Mateus Rosetto to be more effective. And if that's what he allows, then, and it makes the team better, then I think that that's what you have to do. I think one guy to focus on specifically would be Mateus Rizzetto. I hope to see him have a much better performance, because I just really felt like he got kind of lost in the shuffle Saturday night. We all have high hopes for him. Obviously, he was a new signing, so hope to see him have a better game if he gets a chance.
Joe, appreciate it, man. Thanks for giving us some time.
My dude. Thanks, see you later, Joe P. All right, brother.
It's Joe Patrick, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find him. You can find him on Twitter at JAPatrick200. Find Joe Patrick there. Ask me anything.
We need questions. Back, that's next. We need questions.
At Windy Radio, get your questions in now. Ask Me Anything is next. The Midday Show, Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask Me Anything.
Glad you asked on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's a Tuesday edition of Ask Me Anything. This hour brought to you by RightFromTheHeart.org. Wendy!
What's up, guys?
Chat for us today.
I've got some questions. We'll start with this one. Randy, we know you won't miss SEC Media Days, but Chris, what will you miss most about going to Media Days?
Hold on, man. How you saying, I just said that I was looking forward to it. That must be from Brian, because Brian texted me talking about, so you know what, you just lied to everybody. No, I didn't. I really was actually looking forward to going. That was it. I wanted to see everybody and all that. I like being on location. As much as I love the beautiful Kia Studios, I like being on location. That would have been cool.
Well, you've been on location for about 3 months now.
That is true.
In terms of what I'll miss, this is always the week every year. Like I just saw on ESPN.com, they had where it was 50 years ago today that Ray Fosse was ran over by Pete Rose in the baseball All-Star game. And I believe tonight is supposed to be, would have been, the All-Star game out in Los Angeles for baseball. It's not often that you get a chance to be in the eye of the hurricane, so to speak, when it comes to really be in the middle of just everything that's happening in the sports world. I think the Super Bowl coming to town provides us with a little bit of that. But otherwise, SEC Media Days is as close as we get to that, because the only other thing that's happening is the Major League Baseball All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby, and that's basically one or two nights. But the SEC kind of dominates the news landscape, and it's fun to be there, because whatever happens is going to be the headline for that day, whether it's Nick Saban saying something, Philip Fulmer getting served with papers and a lawsuit when he came to Alabama. So there's just all sorts of things that just the stories that come out of SEC Media Days every year are what make it. It's what makes it fun. It's what makes it worth going to. Now, I say all the time, it's the longest days of the year. I probably work harder those 4 or 5 days every year than any other week out of the year, but it is truly the most fun.
If you had to be quarantined with any team in NBA history, which one would it be?
With team?
Team.
NBA history team. Probably, I ain't gonna say the Bull, because I've been to fault Mike. Yeah, I've been to fault Michael Jordan. Probably any of the Miami Heat teams. They were always fun. They seemed like they always had a good time together.
I'm gonna go Showtime Lakers, Randy, and I had to think about that for a minute, because I'm with you. I don't know that I would have necessarily enjoyed hanging around Michael Jordan
just. Yeah.
I couldn't stand the Bad Boy Pistons back in the day. But I think the Showtime Lakers with Magic and those guys, that would have been fun with Magic and Worthy and those guys. I think that'd have been a good time.
If you were stuck in the bubble with your coworkers, what would make you break that bubble? Family and medical emergencies do not count.
Oh, family, because I'm about to strangle somebody. Probably Squid Billy. I'm going to strangle Squid Billy. If I don't get out of this damn bubble, somebody go, yeah, probably that reason.
What about Chuckery wanting you to call him Bulldog Chuckery?
That don't get on my nerves no more, because I don't pay attention to him. But if John Chuckery comes downstairs to the hot tub with his pale body and tries to sit next to me, I'm going to have to leave. I'm gonna have to get up out of there because I'm just like, because this is the first year he was just on vacation. He usually goes down into Florida, sees his mom and everybody and his family, and he always sent me a damn picture of himself in the damn pool. We be fighting. Yeah. So that's about it.
What sport would be the funniest to add a mandatory amount of alcohol to?
Drunk basketball is always funny. Drunk basketball, definitely. Drunk football, I think that'd be too dangerous to have some drunks out there playing football. So I probably go, then baseball, you know, you throwing that ball at me, you drunk, and yeah, you might lose your, you know, lose, you know, your control and might bust me upside the head. So I'm going to go drunk basketball.
Drunk golf is kind of an oxymoron.
Drunk golf is fun. Drunk golf is fun as hell.
You go to pretty much any public course and see that just about any day. How about drunk hockey?
Ice skating and drunk just don't seem like they go together. I never been ice skating before.
I haven't
been ice skating. Never been ice skating.
You went to the ice skating rink, Randy.
I've been to the ice skating rink, but I didn't go ice skating. Even Andy went ice skating. I sat outside getting my drink on. And I was the cameraman that day, Chris, and all my coworkers and their wives, my wife and Andy's wife and our friends, they were all ice skating. Because I knew that I had too much to drink, and it would have been a bad situation if I would have hit that ice. It just would have. it just wouldn't have went right with my pain threshold now, Chris. I can't take no fall or no ice.
I can't believe there's not an ice skating rink in Peach County.
Come on, man. I mean, you know. I mean, they got. But hey, don't knock it. Now we got us a Wendy's. We got us a McDonald's. We got us a China King.
It's too close. It's too close to the place that I grew up in, and we didn't grow up ice skating either. No. So I'm with you. We're good.
We didn't grow up ice skating. But it's funny because when we had our foundation down in Miami, we used to always take the kids from, you know, the inner city to places they'd never been. And so we took them ice skating. The Florida Panthers let us come and use their building one day. And you should have heard all the cocky little boys. Man, this ain't nothing, man. I can roller skate. This ain't nothing. Man, Chris, we got they behind out there on that ice. Boy, I tell you, they had to go get the little, because they give you that little handrail thing. Oh, you should have seen all the macho boys talking all that smack going to the place. Oh, busting they behind the whole time. So, yeah, ice skating is not as easy as some people might think it is.
What board positions are still available in the Yams committee?
Okay, well, I've been thinking about it, and it's about time for me to induct a new member of the YAM committee. And right now we got Sekou is treasury. We got Hugh is the general. Yeah, Hugh's the general. So we got to find another spot. And what I'm looking for right now is the Joker. You know, we need the fool, because every you know, King's Court, they have the fool that makes us all laugh. So I'm working on that. I got it narrowed down to a couple of guys as far as who's going to be the fool of the YAM committee. We're still working on it.
You still need an entire scouting department there, Randy.
Yes. We're still working on it, because just like a lot of men, it's hard not to appreciate yams. We've all come to the conclusion yams can come in any sizes or shapes. All right. So if you don't like, I like my yams. I like big yams. But if you don't like big yams, you like tight yams. Hey, it's all in the yam family.
Oh man. One listener wants to know, Chris, since yesterday was National Fries Day, you said you were going to go get some Checker fries. They want to know if you actually went and bought Checker's fries.
No, but I'm going today, though. I didn't get there yesterday because I already had dinner plans for last night.
You ain't going nowhere.
Hey, I will send you a picture, Randy. Send you a picture today.
Okay.
You'll get a picture it may be about 4:05, but you'd be looking.
Damn,
for
you got me wanting some Checkers fries now.
Gosh, those things are so good.
They're so good. I tell you what was good, because I like my wife. She likes KFC. I can't stand KFC. I like Popeyes. So she got her way, and we ordered KFC. KFC French fries weren't bad. They weren't as bad as I thought they would be. I can't stand KFC, but they weren't as bad as I thought they might be.
They're not French fries though. They're mini baked potatoes.
They were actually crinkle fries. I was like, I didn't know, because I asked potato wedges.
I'm sorry, crinkle fries are not good.
You crazy, Wendy
Adams.
Too
much potato.
Oh, I love crinkle fries.
They're too much potato.
You crazy.
Give me the skinny fries.
Do you like steak potatoes? I mean, steak fries?
No, those aren't fries. Those are mini baked potatoes.
Oh, man.
Trying to imitate a French fry.
Man, you give me some good steak fries out there, Grease. No. Throw some of that Lowry's on there.
No.
Man, yeah. That ain't hitting.
I like the little crunchy fries. It's crunchy, skinny fries.
Oh my goodness! Oh, my goodness. You probably dip your fries in your Zack sauce, don't you?
Oh, I mean, what sauce wouldn't you dip your fries in? Come on now, I'll give me all the sauces. I will dip a French fry in each of them.
Just like how people dip that. Chris, do you dip when you get Wendy's? Do you dip your French fry in the chocolate frosty?
No.
That's another thing that just blows my mind that people do that and get mad at me because I don't do it. Like, really? I just don't. People get so, I can't believe. No, I don't put my French fry in no damn ice cream. No.
All right, kiddos, we got to get to takeaways.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wendy, you want to start us off? You got a takeaway from today?
My takeaway of the day is that I deserve a trophy for having to play all of these SEC fight songs that are not in relation to the school that I root for.
Hey, man. Hey, you didn't have to do anything, all right?
I bet you, a team player.
He would not have noticed. The team is right here, us four working this show. That's the team, all right? Because it's going to be because, you know, Chris knows all these people. So, Chris, you know, he calls them and everything. If he gets that somebody from the school that you root for, I bet that thing be so loud and you be back there dancing and everything. That's your team. You can – yeah, I guess, whatever. If we guess a guy from the team that you like, you notice I won't say their name, then you can have play it as loud as you want to. How about that, Wendy?
Okay.
like I can control that from here at home.
Okay.
Randy, my takeaway of the day goes back to Paul Byrd being on with us and his comments about Mike Soroka. I think there's reason to feel good about Soroka being the anchor at the top of that Braves rotation. And, you know, maybe I'm still a little high on watching an intra-squad game last night, which sounds really strange to say, but sure was good to see baseball back, and it was good to see Mike Soroka look as good as he did.
It's all good. Deadline spurred action. Chris Jones and the Kansas City Chiefs just agreed to a 5-year deal. So that tag, I guess they're going to get a deal before that. The NFL, according to Tom Pelissero, really wants the Oakland mask. They want to make it mandatory for all the players. So we'll see how that goes. And Chris Goforth will risk it all for Justin Verlander's wife.
Oh, are you kidding? I lost total track of where we were in that segment when we started talking about Kate. I mean, completely.
What you got, B?
A couple quick ones for you guys. Even though he's a Tennessee man, I can trust Brent Hubbs because he has an underscore in his Twitter handle.
As does
the Braves' best pitcher, Mike Soroka. It's a movement, people. Get on. Chris, like Randy, has never been ice skating before. Wendy is 100% wrong about crinkle fries, but 100% right when it comes to dipping fries in Zaxby's sauce.
Hell no.
And Randy thinks the new SI swimsuit cover models are pretty ladies, but the first place he would take any of them is the buffet.
Damn right. Get your weight up. Get your weight up. All right,
guys. That is a look at Ask Me Anything for today on the Midday Show. Ready to put the wraps on it here. Chris Goforth in all week in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael. Of course, Wendy and Brian along as well. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go find me. I'm going to go find some checkers. All right, man.
Y'all take it easy.
Fries and a burger. See you guys tomorrow. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and always on the radio.com app.
Watch out now!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.